Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning we're joined in the studio by Grace Stanislaus, the leader of the National Black Arts Festival. Grace, welcome.
Thank you very much and good morning to you.
I'm happy that you're here because I have been a fan of the National Black Arts Festival since its inception. I think the concept and the idea that there is a festival to celebrate the arts created by the Black folks in our country is a wonderful thing. Could you share with our listeners just a little bit of the history of how the festival came into being?
Yes, thank you for having me, Kipling. The festival was established in 1988 by the Fulton County Arts Commissioners, and it was in its early stages an outdoor festival. So we talk about the evolution of NBAF from an outdoor festival in the park, 3 days, to a 10-day festival, to what we are today, which is an organization, as you describe it, that really presents and offers and advances the art of people of African descent really throughout the country. And we do that by focusing on our local talent here in Atlanta, but also bringing in to the city during our festival season, our program season, talent from all across the world. And this is all a part of the celebration of the contribution people of African descent have made to American and to world culture. And it's rich here in Atlanta.
Well, it's really rich around the world. Mm-hmm. When we think about music that is native to the U.S., this country, it's all rooted in the enslaved Africans that were brought over from jazz to country. It's the base of all of American music for the most part.
Absolutely. And you know, for a long time, Kipling, our contributions were not celebrated. They weren't included in the books, the history books or the art history books. So we have been omitted from the story. And this is, in fact, why NBAF is such an important organization, not just for Atlanta, but across the country and for the country, really. Because it positions us, it positions who we are as a people of African descent, Africans in America, and what we have contributed within all of the disciplines of the arts. So in the visual arts, we've got a strong, robust, you know, community of visual artists, definitely in music, you know, now in the entertainment industry, in the broadest sense of that, in dance, in literature. We have to celebrate ourselves. You know, that's a part of it. It's a kind of self-empowerment. And an organization like the National Black Arts Festival takes the lead in that and recognizes that our relevancy is really to enable our young people, in fact, you know, in terms of their cultural literacy, in terms of understanding who we are as a people in America, that we have been in the heart of and the root of, you know, all really that has surfaced up here as the cultural flourishing of people of African descent, whether here in the United States or across the globe.
You're reminding me, my dad has this expression. He says, if it wasn't for African Americans, there would be three colors of cars for sale in the U.S., red, black, and white. Mm-hmm. He said they would have eventually gotten to maybe navy blue or gray, but you wouldn't have had the purples and the lime greens and the greens that turn to blue.
Exactly.
That innovation and creativity has been within the African community, as you mentioned, since we landed.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the thing that is important to acknowledge is that our institutions are valuable and they need to be supported. You know, there is a space where we have got to tell our own story. You know, others will in their own way, but that's what makes organizations like the National Black Arts Festival so critical, really. And especially, I'm going to say this during this current political climate, that we have got to recognize ourselves. We have got to put forward our artists. We have got to nurture and really support them at all stages of their development. So what we talk about is that we are advancing, we're presenting, and we're celebrating the arts in all disciplines. And we do that by focusing on the emerging rising talent, on the seasoned, already, you know, professional artists in all fields. And we put a spotlight on what they have contributed, what they have done. And we also put a spotlight, Kipling, on the creative process. You know, one of the things that we are more familiar with is, you know, here's the final product and we go to the theater and we sit there. But a part of how we like to present what we do is that, yes, you will go to the theater and you will see Savion Glover, you know, our tap master do an amazing dance performance. But afterwards, I'd like you to hear from him about the history of tap, about why he has decided to be a master in that arena, and really talk about what he has contributed to that story, which if he didn't say it and we didn't ask him, believe me, he may be written out of that story entirely.
I find that almost unbelievable that Savion Glover could be lost if it weren't for us continuing to tell his story. And one of the things about his genius is that it started so young, which is also one of the reasons that NBAF is here to talk with our listeners today about this new initiative that you all are doing to augment what arts are still left in our educational system.
Well, so here's a couple of things that I'd love to have your listeners know about with NBAF. So we continue to do a number of different things, and I want to kind of lay that out because there's been some question, what is NBAF today? We know what it was in the past when it was the big outdoor festival. Well, maybe our scale is smaller, but we continue to be important and critical and relevant. And I'm going to share on the various levels. For one, we have a new program, relatively new. It's about 2 years now. It's called the Move Dance. It's an adopt-a-school program, Move Dance Project, in one of our local middle schools, the Sylvan Hills Middle School. Now, this is not to say that this is the first time that NBAF has been a resource to the local schools. We have a long history. But you know that, I guess, around 2008 and maybe even before, when the economic downturn happened, arts education started to disappear from our local schools. And I will say this, the Atlanta Public Schools are woefully in need of, and our kids are totally disadvantaged in the sense that arts education is not available to them. And in fact, even physical education is not really available. So what kind of generation of kids are we preparing to be good citizens in the world if an organization like NBAF didn't step in? So we talk about this program, this Move Dance Project, as a kind of interventionist program. And really what we do is that we have teaching artists go into the schools. We're teaching them to actually move and dance using the various forms of dance from the 18th century to the 21st. So they're learning the Lindy Hop, they're learning social dance, they're learning hip hop, they're learning jazz dance, they're learning tap. And this is 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and it's transforming them, it's transforming their lives. We've produced a new curriculum. We have them go home and do some research so they advance their own cultural literacy. We're partnered with this school, and we are saying we are true partners with you because we want these children to succeed, and we want to be the bridge to that success. So that's NBAF on the ground being relevant. The other thing that we are working on for 2017 is a what we're calling a Next Gen Artist Program. And really, it's to get those kids in junior at the junior high school level and the high school and the senior level to be prepared to get into the marketplace. They need to understand at that point where they're deciding on college and or vocation, what is involved. So we're going to have apprenticeships. We're going to have mentoring. We're going to have business development workshops. You're going to learn how to market yourself. You're going to learn how to put your portfolio together. And we really just want to be that bridge to the next stage for them. So if they aspire to go to Juilliard or to SCAD or to wherever, NBAF will be that space where they can learn and intersect with those who are already in the discipline and in the industry. Then the other thing that I want to share is another exciting program. You know, we did this New Movements in Dance program, you know, Atlanta's Rising Choreographers. This is a part of our new dance program that we are really developing. Last year, our feature spotlight was on dance, and we brought some really amazing talent here, and we also spotlighted what was already in Atlanta. This program that we did at the High Museum recently in October, October 15th, was so amazing in so many ways. It was just...
I was there. It was amazing. It was amazing.
It truly was. And, you know, we had four choreographer dancers. They all each had a very unique style, a very unique presentation. We just opened up the floor for them to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. They came up with the concept themselves. And we want to make that an ongoing series, an ongoing dance program, because we recognize that there is a vibrant and growing dance community here in Atlanta, but it needs to be nurtured and supported. And this is how that program actually got started. We had a meeting with two of the dancers. They said, look, you know, we're doing great stuff here, but we don't have a platform. We don't have a forum. We need more support. And so we sat down together And we really evolved this. This was Jewel Lane and Kenya Griffin. And we just evolved this concept. And now we are looking in 2017 to kind of have it available to our audiences on an ongoing basis, maybe quarterly presentations. There's a lot of talent. You know, we won't run out of that once we get the program going.
Grace, everything that you have mentioned is amazing to me. One of the things that I remember from high school, and I went to Northside School of the Performing Arts. So there were bands. There was a band at Northside that is now, you know, one of the number one corporate bands in America. There were musicians, Winard Harper, actress Jasmine Guy. There were people whose talent was nurtured at an early age, and they walked out with jobs. There were also people who cooked, you know, that made cakes. There were people, my graduation dress was made by Kevin Russell, who is a designer here in Atlanta. He does jewelry. You know, his stage name is Princess Brandy. But these children were making money and doing their thing at a very early age. So when you take those opportunities out of the school, it's not just art.
That's right.
It really is a discipline. It is a profession.
That's right.
It is a way that children, you know, kids were able to do their thing and make money. And that's completely
gone. It's gone.
Even woodwork. People made cabinets and chest. I have a chest from high school graduation that was made in our woodworking class.
Well, you know, Kipling, I talk about this as a social inequity. That is a strike against people of African descent, you know, people of color here. Really, you know, our public schools,
right. We excelled in a lot of those creative disciplines and creative arts.
We are not being given the opportunity to excel in most anything. And so this is why this is really that moment where we've got to look at the climate that we're in, and we have to acknowledge that we have got to step in. We've got to intervene. This cannot be passive. And so how do we track these kids? What do we give them that prepares them to be successful, that actually triggers the aspiration to success in them? You know, a lot of them don't even realize. So, you know, I talk about this within the dance arena, but we're offering this in all of the disciplines. So the visual arts, the literary arts, we've got secret writers, little writers in their room writing little novels and short stories. We want to put the spotlight on them, and we're going to say, here, this is how you're going to be able to make it in this industry. We're going to bring you in connection with those who are already doing it. So there's a mentor-mentee thing that we will develop as a result. You've got to understand that this is possible. This is possible for you.
Because there are kids, I have friends, they're kids who draw every day. They draw every day. I have to let them draw before they do their homework. But, you know, I'm telling them this homework is more important. And I'm like, content is always going to be a good thing.
Content is a good thing. Content is a good thing. And that's the place that we are positioned as an organization.
And is it just that we don't realize that in our community, that artists who are even not that great can make a living with that talent, even if they are not Picasso or Fahamu Piku? They can still make a living.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, this is where entrepreneurship really comes in the mix. And that's where the conversation needs to start. And that's why the Next Gen Artist Program is really grounded in that. It's artistic entrepreneurship. And we've got to be able to offer that to our kids. I just want to say one additional thing. MBAF is approaching its 30th anniversary in 2018. And, you know, this is a cause for huge celebration. I want to see it as a citywide celebration across all of Atlanta. And we are going to be reaching to our global community to celebrate the fact that a lot of organizations, Kipling, have not made it. You know, the economic situation and just leadership in some cases. But we are still here. We're still moving forward. And we've got a vision and a plan for the next 30 years and beyond. I want to say one final thing. Every organization that is important to any community needs to be supported. So I really do want to encourage your listeners to go on our website, nbaf.org, to learn a little bit more about what we do and who we are. But also, there's a portal in there to support our organization, not just as we wrap up the year, but as we plan for the 30th anniversary. We are an important organization to Atlanta and the United States.
And the world. I'm going to say it. It's nbaf.org. And go to find out about all of the programs that we've talked about today, but also to volunteer
exactly.
and to support in any way that you can.
Yes.
As Grace mentioned, there's city opera companies and city ballets across the country that folded at the fall of the recession in 2008.
Yes.
So the fact that NBAF is still here and still doing these amazing things is definitely to be applauded. And I thank you, Grace Stanislaw, for your leadership and for your continuing to make sure that people of African descent have a place to showcase their arts and talents.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.